Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jordana here, Paul on vacation, Mike Max in studio. I am thrilled that you are here. Thank you. But here's the deal. Despite the Vikings' epic win and all the excitement, I promise Mike's going to break down all that crap for you. You were up at 4 in the morning to travel What happened?
We took a charter flight that went out Saturday morning and came back last night. But it was supposed to leave at 11:30 from New Orleans.
Okay.
And it only got delayed to 12:15, 12:20. But what happened, so it got delayed a half hour, and then I didn't realize this, but wherever it flew in from, I think it must have been Mexico.
Okay.
The entire crew has to deboard, even though it's an empty plane, and go through TSA again.
Oh. Okay.
I didn't know that, did you?
Of course not. How would I know a thing
so
like
they flew
that?
In an empty plane, so yeah. We're all sitting there, we're all about to get on the plane, they go, everybody go back, you know? And the pilot and the flight attendants have to come out, go back, walk through security again. And then get back on the plane and we go. So it's all part of those restrictions, I think.
So you landed at 4 a.m.
We landed about 3 something, and then get in the car, get home. It was 4 something when I went.
But here's the deal. If you're on this fancy charter plane and everything, your guys are all fancy, why couldn't you just pick your time when you wanted to leave?
It was a Sun Country, it was a slotted charter.
Got it.
Meaning it left at a specific time, it came back at a specific time. It was set up for Viking fans to go to New Orleans.
So you're not that fancy.
Yeah, so it wasn't that kind of a charter plane. It was a Sun Country offered it. I think that, you know, they got planes to go down there. They fly down there.
Sure.
And they designated one or an extra one, assuming there'd be a lot of people that wanted to jump on the plane. You know, here's the interesting, because I'm with all these Viking fans.
Yeah, of course.
So I didn't realize how much this is like the stock market. And in this day and age, everybody's watching online for ticket prices, right?
Mm.
So when the game's in overtime, according to the people that I flew with, you could buy a ticket, round trip ticket to San Francisco for $200.
What?
Okay? For next week, okay? But you had to take the chance the Vikings were going to win, right? When the game ended and the Vikings won, it went up to $500 or $600.
No doubt.
Immediately. So,
no doubt.
So, but if you wanted to speculate, you could have, in overtime.
But can't you just cancel that ticket? Don't you have 24 hours to cancel a ticket anyway?
I don't know.
That's true. David's a good traveler.
I don't know. I don't know if anybody, you know.
Yeah, they should have done that.
Maybe not. Maybe these are non-refundable. I don't even know.
Who knows? You're right. Maybe they're non-refundable, or maybe it's a charter. I get it. Okay.
So that's kind of interesting.
Okay, let's back up this train. I'm sorry that you're totally jet-lagged and tired, but I'm so grateful that you came in to chat with me today because the big story of the day is the Vikings.
Okay, can I tell you one more fan story?
I want to hear everything.
Because I'm going to have this guy on tonight.
Everything. Okay?
So one of the guys on the charter last night grew up here.
Okay.
He lives in Phoenix now.
Okay.
In fact, he works for Lifetime Fitness, he and his buddy. So they decided they had to go to this game, right?
Late. Of course.
So the only way they could get to this game was to leave at 1 a.m., what would be Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So think about this. That was yesterday. It was 1 a.m.
Sure, I got you.
Fly to Minneapolis.
Okay.
Then get on a plane from Minneapolis, where he's from, just ironically.
Yes.
Then get on a plane from Minneapolis to New Orleans.
Okay.
And which landed at like 11:15. So they at 1 a.m., they get on the plane from Phoenix. They fly to Minneapolis. Then they get on the plane in Minneapolis, and they fly down to New Orleans, and they get there, and they make a mad dash to get there just in time for the game.
Okay.
Then the game ends, and they go to Bourbon Street. Then they come out to the charter, at which point they leave with us. It was supposed to be 11:30, but it's 12:15, to Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Then at 6:30 this morning, get on a plane from Minneapolis back to Phoenix because they had to be at work at 10.
No.
Yeah, that's what those two did to see the Vikings play.
They definitely called in hungover.
At minimum.
They could not have gone to work today. That's insanity.
They were not, you know, they weren't drinking big or anything like that. So, but obviously, but that's what they did. They went from 1 a.m. basically until, what would it be, 24, you know, whatever it is, 36 straight hours of either flying or at the game or at Bourbon Street.
But there's no way they're coming on your show tonight, Mike. They're going to be passed out.
No, they promised
they're
me.
They're missing that phone call, honey.
They promised me. Because they're from here.
Okay, they so must have something. Been thrilled that they went. Clearly, it was totally worth it for them. 100% worth it for them, as yes. it was for all the fans.
Zero regrets.
What was it like down there?
It was crazy in a different way. And what I mean by that is, and I understand most people probably have never traveled with the Vikings or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But why it was different was that the Vikings travel really well. Like when they played the Chargers in L.A., they mm-hmm. talk about it being 90% Viking fans, which may have been a little bit of an exaggeration, but not
okay.
much. Okay, but you always have heavy Viking fans. But
okay.
because this was, nobody knew where they were going until last Sunday night at midnight when Seattle lost to San Francisco or whatever mm-hmm. it was. So you couldn't get enough Viking fans down because they couldn't get tickets to the game.
Gotcha.
They couldn't get tickets on the plane, all those things. So you had fewer Viking fans than you normally have for an away game because, mm-hmm. you know, once you see the schedule in the summer, you can pick what games you want to go to, but not the playoffs, right? Because you don't know until the week before. So there were fewer Viking fans like at the team hotel, which is usually inundated with Viking fans. There were fewer Viking fans there. I said to Dave Lee this morning, it was crazy. At the Viking hotel, there was this guy dressed in a Saints uniform with a Darth Vader mask. And he's got a speaker, and he's playing this music. And he's done just, I wish we could play it. Because he did this musical, why the Vikings are going to lose, and why they choke every time they play
boy.
In a big game. And he rhymed it, and he blah, blah, blah. And he just played it on a loop. So as the team got off the bus, that's all they heard. They saw this Darth Vader Vikings guy and this music playing about and the Vikings are laughing as they walk.
That's insane.
But when you see that stuff,
yeah.
you realize the magnitude of the NFL, you know?
Of course.
And in New Orleans, smaller market than here, it becomes even bigger because you got the Saints and LSU and not much else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Saints everywhere. The fans are very, very gracious. They're into their team, but they are very nice to opposing mm-hmm. Opposing teams fans,
nice.
Unlike the Eagles. You know, most are pretty nice. You know, there's a few, obviously, once in a while. That
but you
know.
Notice their niceness, and you come from the land of nice, so
you
they must have been
you notice
nice.
That they appreciate them. Mm-hmm. But then you get in this game, Jordana, and you just can't believe it, the way it's going back and forth.
The screaming in my house.
At some point, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You just want to know who's going to win. Yeah. You almost get to the point where you don't care. Just tell me who's going to win so I don't have to keep going through this, you know, this yin and yang, you know?
Dying.
One of the Vikings executives came over to me and he just, why do we invest our livelihood in this? You know,
it was a lot of drama. A lot of heart
a
rates
lot of
went
drama.
Up. Yes. People
yet,
got their yet, cardio watching the game.
Yeah. And yet the greatest, mm-hmm. I mean, that's why we love it, you know.
It's exciting.
And they make this play at the end of the game, obviously. And the place goes silent, which is just crazy, right? Because nobody really knows for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You see they scored a touchdown,
mm-hmm.
and there's some thought there might have been offensive pass interference because
uh-huh.
they've been victimized the last 2 years. They've had freaky endings. And the Vikings, which is 53 guys, are all celebrating. But 53 amongst 70,000 looks really, really small, especially
mm-hmm.
when it's really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes really surreal.
Mm-hmm.
You're going, the Vikings won, right? But there's nothing really,
but
you know.
But you're waiting for confirmation.
Yeah, yeah. And you're going, is there going to be, you can't quite tell. And then the referees you see run off the field, which means they're not looking at a replay. This game's over. Okay. And you go, oh, my God, this really, as a Viking fan, everybody will appreciate, anybody that as I watch the Viking fans there,
mm-hmm.
you come to understand that weird endings against you do happen. You know, and the last time the Vikings played in the playoffs there, it looked like they're going to the Super Bowl and Brett Favre threw an interception.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff goes through Viking fans' mm-hmm. minds.
Mm-hmm.
And you realize this really happened.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Stephon Diggs 2 years ago when they scored the touchdown on the last play, which is a little bit more dramatic because they were behind. They were only tied here, you know.
Right.
And so
this was dramatic.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
This was dramatic, and it was numbing for the Saints fans. You felt bad for them. Then you make your way down to the locker room. Now, the Saints locker room is the smallest and worst in the NFL for the opposing team.
Mike Max is going to continue that story from the Saints locker room in just a moment. The best stories you will hear from New Orleans all day. Jordana Green here, Mike Max in studio, regaling us with fans that came from Phoenix to Minnesota to New Orleans and haven't slept in 36 hours. And now, The eerie quiet that when we got the touchdown at the end of the game that fell over the crowd because no one was really sure if we won or not. You may have been screaming in your living room at home, but Mike Max was in the stands. He was on the field, and people were still confused as to whether or not it was really a win.
Yeah, and then you realize as you're walking down that it's a win, and the Saints fans in their Cajun dialect they're kind of upset with the referees because they're not quite sure if it was a penalty or not, and they're kind of upset with the coach, but they love the coach. They're kind of upset with Drew Brees, but they love Drew Brees.
Mm-hmm.
They're just kind of in shock, you know. And you go down, and as I said before the break, it's the smallest locker room in the NFL. It's ridiculous.
Why is it so small? So didn't they rebuild that stadium?
So that they can make you uncomfortable if you're the opponent.
Oh.
Literally. I mean, they want no room.
I'm
not kidding you. Guys were waiting 12 deep just to shower. They were lined up just to get in to shower and keep your showers to 40 seconds or less, that kind of a thing, right? That's what it's like there. So you can't even move in these locker rooms, you know? And then they brought Kyle Rudolph out when we talked to him, and just to see the expression on his face, and then Adam Thielen, and then I talked to Dalvin Cook, and then when that gets done, and I see Mike Zimmer sitting there, and he's doing FaceTime with somebody, which is pretty cool, right?
For sure.
I'm not sure who it is, but he's
cool.
Doing FaceTime, enjoy the moment, right? Whoever
exactly.
It is, it's sure. Then we go out on the field, and because we're setting up for TV and all that stuff, and Kyle Rudolph comes walking out, and I know Kyle well enough that I said, would you give us a one-on-one? Because he's the man of the hour, right?
Of course.
So he gave us a one-on-one in his street clothes, really cool exclusive to get because he was the hero of the game. He said, whatever you need, long as we want to go, blah, blah, blah. So we do the interview with Kyle Rudolph. And you know, they basically severed ties with him last year and then re-signed him. And he always wanted to come back. And, you know, all those emotions you forget now go through your body, right? You know? How close you might have come to being somewhere else, all these things.
Absolutely.
Yep. Anthony Barr was going to sign with the Jets and decided to come back for less money. Jets were terrible, as you know, and now he's playing for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. All this stuff goes through these guys, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't just about a game, you know. It's about their life and all that stuff. But the takeaway was, one of the last takeaways I had was while we're sitting there, the game's now been over for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I look over, the field's empty, the Vikings have gone, boarded the plane, et cetera. And there's a group of people in the corner of the end zone, and it looks like family and maybe a player or two, from the Saints that had come out. And this guy's playing catch with the kids. I thought that's pretty cool. And he's holding up the kids and having fun, and he's just playing catch on the turf, right? And I walk over there, and it's Drew Brees.
Oh, my God.
The Saints quarterback has got his kids and other kids after this devastating loss, and he's got a little football, and they're running patterns, and he's throwing them the ball, right? He could have checked out. He could have – and then he's got his daughter, and I don't know if he's consoling her, but he puts her up on his shoulders, and he's being dad, And at first I thought that looks like, it's one of those where you go, boy, that almost looks like Drew Brees. But it couldn't be Drew Brees because Drew Brees wouldn't come out here. Mm-hmm. And I walk over there and he's got a defined birthmark on his face. And I go, oh, my God, that's Drew Brees. And there's family around and he suffered this third straight devastating loss. And it's almost as if he's sending a message to his kids. Maybe I'm taking a leap here, but, life goes on. Dad's okay. It's still about you. Let's run some patterns. Dad's going to throw you the football. It was really, really cool because you've heard so many good things about this guy. Mm-hmm. But you see it up close like that and you go, there was no camera. He wasn't doing this for the cameras. There was nobody there trying to capture this moment. It was just him and his family and friends. And I thought that was really, really cool. Something I'll never forget.
That's an amazing story. You didn't speak with him, did you? He was having a moment with his family.
Exactly.
I
so I walked over because I wanted to see, could it possibly be? And you're going, no, that can't be Drew Brees. He wouldn't do that after. And there he is. And he's smiling and laughing with his kids, almost as if like he's trying to set the example that life goes on after a tough loss.
Let's talk about Drew Brees for a minute, because the Drew Brees, Tom Brady era seems like it is very different this year than it was in years past. So these are, two icons of the game, and now they're both done for the season. Is this a sign of things to come?
I don't think either one of them needs to quit. They're both really good, and Brees had a really good year. Brady didn't have as good a year, but you could really make a case that he was victimized by his receivers more than his play, because he just did not have – they've run guys in and out, and he's always kind of been able to find a way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this year they just they seemed like it was a lot of work for him at the end of the year. So the first question is, are they in the downward? Nah. You know, 80% of Drew Brees or Tom Brady is better than about 90% of the league, you know? So if they want to come back and play, they're still going to be a lot better than, you know, they're not. And Brees had really an outstanding year, an outstanding month, and that's why I was so surprised yesterday, because Mike Zimmer just had an outstanding game plan, technically speaking, what mm-hmm. the Vikings did to him and the things that worked that they tried on the defensive line, talking to Danielle Hunter specifically. He had the big tackle for the fumble. Mm-hmm. Take a little inside football here.
No, please
big
do.
Tackle for the fumble that changed the game at the end. And he said, we had been setting that up the whole game, meaning we knew we were going to get that at some point in time. And the guy next to him, I think it was Jaleel Johnson or Holmes, I can't remember, was saying, we got to do it. And he said, hold on, man, I just want to set him up a little longer as these plays go on. And then you pick a moment when you go, okay, this is it. You know, we're going to do what we know we can do, you know, because we've got them set up and they're going to give us the look. We know they're going to. And that's when they made the play. And you go, whoa, you know, that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good planning. Good plan.
Yeah, and that's the NFL, you know.
Yeah, that it has to be. Fascinating. Mike, I want to get to the New Orleans part, because was this your first time in New Orleans?
Nope, I was there when the Vikings played there years ago, but we did our show from Bourbon Street the one night, and I'll tell you about it.
Because I said to Mike when he left last week, I said, enjoy the beignets, and he's like, I don't know what that is. But
then I saw them everywhere. They're advertised.
And did you have one? Did you have Café au Lait? Did you
something.
Go to Café du Monde? Did you eat a beignet?
I did not get a beignet, okay?
Could you go to New Orleans and not get a beignet?
I know. But I did get Jordana a gift.
No, he did not. Show that on the Facebook. We're currently on Facebook Live. Gee, Mike, how did you get those beads?
This is for Jordana.
I have plenty, by the way.
I know you do. Gee, Jordana, how did you get all those beads?
How does one get beads in New Orleans, Mike?
Let me tell you something. We were on Bourbon Street. I got those just for you. I picked them up.
I'm wearing them. I'm putting them on.
And all of a sudden, a wedding party showed up, and then up above, there was a stag party going on. Now, for people that aren't familiar with the New Orleans tradition, generally speaking, guys will sit up in the balcony and say, show me your something.
Boobs.
And if you do, then they throw you beads.
That's right.
Okay, well, these guys were having no luck.
Okay.
So they just started throwing beads, hoping that would, you know.
So you didn't even
because I was
flash
watching
them?
Closely.
You didn't have to flash anybody.
No, you just there were so many of them. By the time they were done, literally, you could just go pick up beads because they had, and I was watching the whole time because I wanted to make sure that nobody because that would be a violation of the law, and I wanted to make sure
watching very closely.
Yeah, to see
whole,
if
just
any
to make
any
sure
yeah what these women
all
would
the
do
women
for beads.
Women were rewarded properly.
Yes,
if they
and
did.
I'm a good guy, right? I was going to call them out if they didn't.
Absolutely.
And so I watched and watched and watched. And much to my disappointment, I mean, it never happened.
I'm really sorry for you, but not for your wife.
But it was so these guys were playing, but yeah, you know, and some of these women come walking by, and there was big boyfriends, right? And those boyfriends looking up, going, no.
Yeah, you don't need those beads. I'll buy you those beads at Lytton Party and Paper. You
Lytton
don't need
Party
those beads.
Absolutely,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I got some just for you, though, George, and you didn't have to earn them.
I really appreciate that. And I'm sorry that you did not get to experience a beignet.
Well, but
because, by the way, folks looking on the Facebook Live can see the giant Rice Krispie treat that Mike Max walked in with, because he, like me, survives on white sugar and caffeine.
That's right. And I did have jambalaya.
Oh, okay.
I always eat what the natives eat, right?
Go ahead. Tell me more.
But we went to, there's this place called Floyd's Oysters. Mm-hmm. Okay. No, Felix's Oysters.
Okay.
It's called, okay. So we get down there, and anytime you have a camera, you get attention, right? People
sure.
want to know about, and usually in a good way. Mm-hmm. So the guy happens to be the owner of Felix's Oysters. So we strike up a conversation. Mm-hmm. He happens to be friends with Sean Payton, the head coach of the New Orleans Saints.
Okay.
And he happens to have been here 2 years ago when the Vikings beat the Saints mm-hmm. on the Miracle Play. So he's very dialed in, right? So we're having a great conversation nice. About it. So he says, you guys go up and use our balcony for whatever you need.
Nice.
Okay, so we go up on his balcony, which overlooks Bourbon Street. But you're very safe now because you're on the balcony. You're not on the street level. No one can come running. Nobody's going to come out there. He's got it all taken care of, right? It's all protected. He says, when you're done, come on down and have some charred oysters.
Nice.
Okay? So I'd never had charred oysters. And the only oysters I had are kind of raw.
Yeah, the slimy kind.
Yeah.
The
but they're supposed to be
kind.
Good for you.
Yeah,
whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we wrap up our stuff, and their place is about to close, but he has us come down, put them on the grill, and I'm going, is this really worth waiting, you know? For but they brought out these charred oysters.
Yeah,
I will fly down there again.
That good?
They were so good. They grill them, and they have kind of a smoked flavor. They're hot. You know,
so they're not slimy.
So you take the slime out and replace it with kind of a barbecue or you know whatever it is that they do, and then you just take a fork and eat it. Right. Oh my God!
That good?
Oh yeah! And at the end of a long day, and you're sitting there, and you're throwing stories around, and you're on Bourbon Street, and he locks the place, that, you know, and you're sitting there, and just it was really, really a slice of New Orleans, but it was so good. You know,
I'm so glad that you had a great time. You feel like you got the whole experience and brought home a victory, which was more than
well. And when you know, and that just rises the ship. You know, when you're on the go back, and all these Vikings fans are so happy. You know, they're just so happy, and you go, there's just nothing else in society. We saw it twice last week, right, with the Gophers and the Vikings.
It's an exciting week
that can bring every. And we say this all the time when it happens, but when you see it. They are just so pumped up, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to get to San Francisco. And I tell you what, after we beat them, then we're going to drive to Green Bay, and we're blah blah blah. You know, but you feel, and pretty soon everybody's gathered. Hey, we got to have a pack here. We're all going to San Francisco. Right.
Well, of course, best friends.
Yeah, some of them are half in the bag, but you know,
it's all good.
Yeah, but it's all good, and they're just going. Yeah,
that's great.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.